island life, Waiheke people, events and issues. Brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by The Village Butchery, the place to go for fine cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. Island life, Waiheke people, events and issues, here on Waiheke Radio every Saturday morning from 10 a.m.
Hi everyone, so it's Island Life today, and Sharin here, and today I've got Ross Gillespie, who's been away from the island for quite a while, and now he's back, so it's quite nice to get his kind of feeling about what's going on the island. And and then we've got Greg Treadwell coming in to talk about local, national and international news and what's going on in the papers. And then we'll see. Great. Hi, Ross. How's it going?
Hi,
Sharon. So you've been away from the island for a while.
Yes, I have. I've been back to the Wairarapa. Walk into a maelstrom of events around our property. We're surrounded by reserves. And we're living in the middle of industrial chaos, so I had to stay there and try and sort a few things out.
Right, okay. So you're from down there?
Yes, from Pahiatua, which is on the Manga Tainaka River. We've got the Tui Brewery just 2 miles downstream. We've got Fonterra discharging into the river 600 metres above our property. They're all there because of the good water, and they're polluting it. So it's like Tui and Fonterra enhancing water quality in the Manga Tainaka River. Yeah, right.
Right, okay. So so that's really what we've missed about you, Ross, because for those of you who don't know, Ross is our superhuman eco-warrior and was sticking up for Waiheke in terms of boundaries and boundary encroachment. And you'd spent quite a lot of time on Waiheke walking down tracks and working out where boundary pegs were and working out where people were encroaching, weren't you?
Yes, well, the only reason I did it was I went in on the true survey and I thought, well, this is 100%, so maybe there's a chance of something actually happening. Even though the survival bureaucrats are trying to stop you every step of the way. And I linked up with Peter Green, who had initially done some tracks around Ofanaki, and we had a go, and all hell broke loose, really, because what we discovered were pegs had been moved, removed, falsified, buried, and we got a bit of land back. In fact, millions of dollars worth of land for the public.
Mm. So which were the places that you got the land back?
Well, all over. In the middle of Onatungi Beach, there was a section fenced off. I read the minutes from the community board, which said no one knew. Well, if no one knew, how did we get it back? Someone had to know. It was chained off, and when the guy went and put a drive in on his true property, I reported it to Gary Walton, and after a bit of a how's your father, got back. But no one bothered to come back to me and say they organised a sculpture and a table and all the rest, and it was just, you know, off they went with it. Another one was a quarter of a mile of coastal strip, Graham Hart, removal of survey pegs. I'd gone round and just memorised where they were. This one's 12 paces from that, Puriri tree sort of thing. And overnight, more or less, the pegs were all shifted. Of course, Fenton, the manager, baned the cows and pulled them out. I don't know how they put them in on the other side of the fence. I even met Graham Hart at one stage there when I was out chipping thistles on a Sunday, and he said to me, oh, I don't need any more land. And I said to him, well, how come then the pegs are all moving out into the public land and are in your favour? It's not like it's an accident. So in the middle of Church Bay, we got back, there was an 8.5 metre coastal strip there. It was 13 metres at the southern end of the bay, extended for about a quarter of a mile. So that was a big win.
Mm. So why? I mean, does it really matter? I mean, some people think that if people are protecting the coast, then it's fine if they encroach a bit and do some planting.
Well, they're not actually protecting the coast. In the case of Graham Hart, it was pushing out a fence and then electrifying, putting electric wire there. It's all Waiheke was a very friendly place. In fact, when I came here in the early 80s, it was the friendliest place I'd ever been, and you could ring up a farmer and go fishing and things, just get permission. And what was happening, we were having these subdivisions, and we were actually losing access. Fences were appearing, gates, all sorts of obstacles were placed in the way, and it's not a big island, and it's a good thing if people can get around and get around it.
Mm. So you had some quite interesting things to say about the sculpture walk. Have you been around there recently? Or because that was quite an interesting example of how property owners didn't seem to want the sculpture walk too near to their properties and were sort of taking, you know, encroaching on the land and then forcing people closer and closer to the coastline.
Yes, well, in particular, there was Carnahan, the lawyer, and I don't know how it happened, but it's actually Her Majesty's the Queen's walkway through that section, and architects work in millimetres, and what happened was the track was moved like 20 metres in places onto absentee Maori land. And that all connected up with what was going on at Graham Hart's property, because I discovered in survey maps there was an urupa there, a burial ground, and we got that back too, and that linked back to 12B to Hurahi, which is the Maori land. Through there, the walkway's been pushed hard onto their boundary, and even though they complained, they had no access after the subdivision. They got access, but it's down a gully. All sorts of terrible things going on.
Mm. And what's happened down at Dead Dog Bay? Because I remember we all went on a walk there, and there was some encroachments happening there. And since then, I tried to find my way back onto that public land, and I had my two small children with me, and we almost sort of, you know, fell into the swamp in the process, because there didn't seem to be any way through to the part that you'd showed us.
Well, that's a classic bureaucratic mess, because you've got DOC involved as well as what was Auckland City then. It's a highly valued piece of land through there. Conservation covenant, a wetland, and another covenant, bush, on the southern side. And for the wetland, there's actually a draining channel going through, which takes about two feet of depth out of the wetland and constrains it considerably, and now there's motorised mowers and things going in there. I haven't found anyone in the systems who is honest enough to have a open-eyed look at it.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's very difficult, isn't it? Because it's all, you know, individuals who are having a look at things, and the council are also quite busy with different bits and pieces. So,
well, the council, they go to work, and so this is something they can actually do.
Mm. And I'm quite interested in that. There's a track as you go down towards Fossil Bay in the curve. There's a track that goes up. It's sort of signposted, and then you get up to the top of it, and it says "Look out this way," and it's all just covered in gorse. You can see the lookout, and there's a property that's just taking up the corner there. Do you know anything about that?
Do you mean just past the vineyard, heading north?
I have a terrible sense of direction, so moving swiftly on could be. But
is this Fossil Bay?
It's not Fossil Bay. It's on that road as you go down there
before you get to Island Bay. Is it?
No, I was just curious, because it says that you can get across to a lookout point and you can kind of see the lookout point, but actually you'd probably die trying if you tried to get around that that little bit of thing.
Oh, you might mean further out and down, do you?
I don't know. Okay, so moving swiftly on.
No, it's all right. There is a lookout point, and there is a sort of a track. There is room to put a track down and go back down to the coast, and then you could walk around through to Island Bay. Like, Island Bay was another absolute mess. There used to be a track at the bottom of Kellen's property, which you could walk along three abreast. And then there was a big dumping of earth on the northeastern corner. Now, Peter Green sorted that out. They got that removed. But then Patrick Thorpe, who was the parks officer. They called him the Premier Parks Officer, and I consider him one of the greatest vandals on Waiheke has seen. He's mucked so many things up, some things that can never be rectified. He allowed, against a specified directive, written directive, a planting right across where we used to walk, and so then it became a goat track, which even Herb Romanek, said, well, this is an Osh thing, but I think they spent $30,000 instead of just shifting these flax plants, because, of course, at that stage, I think for the building of Callan's property, they allowed them to come into the protected foreshore yards, and then the earth all came down over the public land. Oh, just another complete schmozzle.
And, right, so we're talking to Ross Gillespie, who's now down in the, what's it called?
In the Wairarapa,
that's right.
Well, I'm here now, actually.
Well, it just looks like a very beautiful area to live in, because it's got lovely, it had lovely clean streams. So tell us, so you've taken your eco-warrioring down that way, so what's the beef?
Just an absolute shocker, how to ruin a river which has got a conservation notice on it. Famous for its trout fishing. The figures for brown trout from New Zealand Fish and Game, 1987, 96 trout to the kilometre approximately, estimated, 2009, 7. Just, they're talking about crops of periphaton, which is slime in the river now, things like that, and where it flows past our place, as I mentioned before, we're 600 metres below the discharge, the main discharge of the condensate. The river smells. Fonterra, of course, have got 40% of the world international trade, so it's a big outfit. The factory, which is about 1,200 metres from our property, takes in 1.6 million litres of milk a day from halfway between Napier and Wairoa down to Wellington Way and across the Manawatū. They're a one-trick pony. They put out milk powder, over 1,000 tonne a week. They've bought up farms for 3 miles up the river, not all of them, but a lot of them. It's all highly draining remnant riverbed, and onto the land they irrigate, or they spray their acid and alkali washes and their chemical rinses.
What are they using that stuff for then? I don't understand how it's affecting the river.
You mean the waste product I'm talking about?
Yeah. Why is the fact that Fonterra's upriver from you affecting your water supply?
Well, they're discharging, because it's all highly draining land, what they discharge to the land percolates through. The scientists say that the Mangatanoka River is the ultimate aquifer, so it goes in there. On top of that, they've got a permit or a resource consent for 2,500 cubic metres a day of condensate waste, which comes from the evaporation of the waters out of the milk, when they concentrate the milk up to about 50% to make the milk powder, and you get little filaments like fingernail clippings flowing out with the other evaporated matter, and it's actually going into the same stream that they draw their beautiful clean water out of, just about a kilometre down, just before it hits the river, and it's going in at up to 50 degrees. And in fact, last year, Horizons, who are the regional council meant to monitor these things, have got recordings up to 46 degrees. Now, this is a spawning stream, and of course that just can't happen because the factory works non-stop for about 11 months of the year.
Right, so it's the cleaning product that they're using to clean the tanks, and it's what they're using to concentrate the milk or turn the milk into milk powder, and that's going into the stream.
Yes, the acid and alkali washes and the chemical rinses are to keep the surfaces of the machinery clean. And you may have heard about the melamines. Deaths over in China. If they have a hygiene breakdown, even Fonterra's reports are, it would be catastrophic. The waste that's going into the water, into the spawning stream is just, it's more of a, it's, well, it's qualified as low strength waste. I just refer to it as number ones and number twos. The number ones is going into the spawning stream, the number two is going to land. Fonterra has to be potty trained because the river's just such a mess. It's like equidistant. It's unbelievable. Like, we're 600 metres down from the main discharge into the river. And another 600 metres downstream is the Paeatua water supply. Now, the Paeatua water supply was put in 1987. I gave you the trout figures for that year, not approximately 96 of a kilometre. And now Paeatua's got to get another, just got an alternative water supply, or a supplementary rather, because the water coming out of the trap taps is sometimes brown, sometimes red. We've got two filters on our water coming into our property, and we get our drinking water from a farm. It's that bad. And so years ago I tagged the file because it never come up for notification, and this time when it was notified, it's the only reason I heard about it, I was there to put in a submission. Then I was told that if I wasn't there for the pre-hearings, my submission may be disallowed, so I had to hang around, and I asked, well, when are these pre-hearings and all this, and of course got nowhere, so I went to Massey for a bit and did a bit of work around the place.
So what is the... So how do people who live in that area feel about all of this? Presumably there are a lot of farmers who are, on the one hand, you know, selling their milk to Fonterra or part of that group, but then on the other hand their water's being contaminated. Where do people sit in on that?
Well, most people seem to be apathetic, really. There's a lot of the townsfolk. I was up in the Hawke's Bay and a person said, oh, you're from Paeatua. And I said, yeah. Oh, such and such is the newest millionaire there, I hear, they said. And I said, well, who's such and such? And they said, they own the New World there. And I said, well, why are they the latest millionaire? Well, because everyone's buying water in Paeatua. So,
oh, right, so people are aware of the problem.
Yeah, but when I tried to publicise it in the local paper, unfortunately I knew the editor, so I got a bit in there. It was met by a crushing silence, more or less. But a reporter who was an ex-PhD followed up on it because he had to transcribe my letter, and when he read it, he realised there was some sense in it, and he did a full-page article which kind of went, he got reprimanded by the API press people, so all sorts of things happened down there.
So has there been any progress? Are they Fonterra no longer dumping condensate into the river, or are they having to clean it before they put it in? I mean, it seems like it would be a fairly straightforward process to clean.
Well, they've got all sorts of things they can do. They can do, you know, I don't actually know much about the processes of reverse osmosis and all sorts of things they talk about. At the moment, we've got them out of the river for 3 months at low flows, and so they've had to go away and they applied for a variation of their discharge to land because, of course, they were discharging more to land. That's just been failed by Horizons on a section 127, so they've got to go away and have another plug at it. I don't know whether it will be notified, so that's why I've come back here while all this is going on.
Right. Okay, well, that sounds like quite a big job. It's really difficult, isn't it, when you've got organisation or, you know, companies that are big employers and are seen as being good for the New Zealand economy, and yet they're damaging the environment.
Yeah, it's a biggie. If you can't stop them on a river with a conservation notice and with the status of the Manga Tanoka, which is the Tui Brewery and the Hydra Slide and all the pretty girls and things pimped out by the product managers and advertising staff to sell their product. Of course, people should know that Tui is part of Asian and Pacific Breweries, and the major shareholders of that is Heineken, so there's more money going offshore, like it does with the banks and everything else. So seemingly good. Look a bit deeper and you want to look away.
So where are these people drawing the water from? Are they draining aquifers to, for all of, you know, where do they get their water supply from?
Well, that's a good question, because the water supply to the Fonterra factory, after 23 months, was finally consented, non-notified. But what had happened was that when Horizons, the regional council, and they have jurisdiction from Taumarunui down to Levin and across the east coast, so they're a massive outfit and they have scientists, when they finally went and had a look at where Fonterra was drawing their water, which is the spawning stream, or was, it had been classified as a groundwater supply, and it's actually riparian. It was right on a bend of the stream, just a few metres off it. And all sorts of shenanigans have gone on there, as far as I'm concerned. In fact, I've had an offer from a guy who's fighting for the environment over Transmission Gully in Wellington, High Court lawyer, who said he'd take it on, but, you know, straight away wanted $20,000, and he, you know, all the losses were mine if it went pear-shaped, and I'd done all the work anyway, so I'm going to flag that. But I'm just watching that with interest, because, you know, these things are just shocking.
Right, okay, well, New Zealand's clean green image on the back foot slightly in the Wairarapa. Here I am with Ross Gillespie, and so Ross, how long are you back on the island for?
I'm just waiting for Fonterra to sort out their latest resource consent application for the discharge to land, and then I suppose it's all on at the hearing.
Right. Okay, so what have you noticed being back on Waiheke? Because it's been about a year since you've been here. What do you notice about some of the environmental issues that might be different or have developed since you've been here?
Well, first sailing through the Matetia Heads, I saw that glaring eyesore, that hunk of long-run iron had been removed, and then I heard it had been re-established disestablished because it had rusted through. Well, I tried to get rid of that for years, because with all the walkways around there on both sides of the bay, it was just going to catch your eye from all different angles. So it was good to see that. And then I noticed the plywood kayak building where there'd been all the competitions of what was going to be on the foreshore down there. So I went to the community board meeting and spoke about what was happening in Matea Bay development, and suggested they put a rotunda down in the southern corner, because it's out of the wind and it would give people a place to go, artists and that, and just like the one across from Auckland University, and it would be quite a cool thing to have. It's a better use of, I don't think it would cost $150,000, but than just a sculpture that's, you know.
Oh, so you were thinking there should be some sort of shelter there that people could kind of gather underneath or something?
Yeah, and visitors could go there and just open up that part of the bay. And then, of course, not even moving out of Matetia, there's this development that's proposed. And, well, of course, that's the
tail. What development's this, sorry?
That's the Matetia Marina.
Oh, okay, yeah. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's the tail wagging the dog, actually. It's the gateway to Waiheke, to and fro. You've got the boats there at the moment, moving with wind and tide. I wrote a letter, and a bit was left out about, I mentioned that it had would change from a low-key setting to a John Key venue, serving the few.
Seriously, they need you in advertising. You've got some great sound bites.
Yeah, serving the few while pretending to benefit the many.
Right, okay. I remember talking to I can't remember who it was. It might have been Greg Treadwell, actually, who was saying that, you know, in a sense you need somewhere where boats can discharge waste, and with the volume of traffic in the Hauraki Gulf, you almost need to kind of manage the boaty waste situation, and maybe that would be so we need something somewhere. Do you think it would be better to have a marina in another part of the island, or is it that you don't think we need a marina but maybe there's something else we could have?
Well, I offered an alternative in the letter, and sort of based on a previous surveys, and that was in the Kennedy Point Putiki Bay area. But personally, I don't think we've got the Hauraki Marine Park Act, Just this week we've got Mike Lee saying how it's not working, it's not protective enough. And I've been in contact with Mike, and I suggested to him that there should be no marinas within the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park, and they should be like Gulf Haven and all these other marinas on the other side, only on the periphery. And people who've got boats are usually fairly independent and usually got a bit of nous, and if they can't find themselves to a place where they can pump out their bilges and sort out their effluent, well, I don't know that they should be on a boat, actually.
Right, okay, well, fair enough. Lovely. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
You're
and,
welcome.
Greg's not here yet. Greg, are you listening to this? Come down to the studio. Have you forgotten? I might have to try and get hold of you. And on the other hand, Ross is still here.
Can't get away from me yet.
So Ross, do you have anything you'd like to talk about? Maybe the Round Island walk.
Oh, that's a good topic. Yes, it seems to have caught on. So that'll be a great thing. Gary just gave me some of the plans the other day to have a look at for feedback. And I see there's a bit missing at the bottom end, I think. We've got Max Track, and we never had a way back up, a different way up, Awakariapa.
So where is Max Track? So tell us, what is the Round Island Walk? It's basically walking around the outer perimeter of the island.
Yes, if people wanted to come here and, you know, not quite so sedentary, or they know there's various walks they can take. Of course, the Round Island Walk augments all the other walks we've got, and some of which can't be duplicated by it.
And where can you get, how far can you get at the moment?
Oh, you can get a fair way around, but at the bottom end, because it's such a quiet road, you'd be walking the roads. But that doesn't matter, because you've got all the views over Pakatoa and out to the Coromandel, so it's quite cool out there. But what I was going to say about Max Track, that's south of Manawar Bay. You could have a low tide walk. Awakariapa was just another one of these gated subdivisions like we've got on Delamore Drive and Ofanaki Bay. I don't know how Auckland City decided that Waiheke, being as small as it was, they'd cut other pieces off which people couldn't go into, and then maybe supply abysmal access and things like that.
Right, okay. And so when do they think that the rest of the walkway will open up?
Well, I think it's a work in progress, so that's good, because generally the progress report for Waiheke is there is no progress. What I was going to mention is that it would be great if...
It's quite hard work having you on people's back, isn't it, Ross?
Just a free comment. I have to laugh, and, you know, we're supposedly in a democracy. Well, the Greeks had a democracy when they put... Socrates to death. There were 550 people voted, about 280 to 250, something like that, and that's 530. Every year they change those people. We've got career politicians, we've got survivalist bureaucrats. It's just, you're just swimming in it, actually. I just wanted to mention there is a way out of, for this Round the Island Walk, a way at the bottom end out of Max Track or into it, and that would be the paper road that goes into Arran Bay. And then we've got a low tide walk which can take us around towards Oropew and all the way to Manawar Bay, which as long as we can keep the waters pristine, we've got a mussel farm out there, that'd be another dimension. There's another dimension needs to be added at Palm Beach too, which would really add to it. I'd like to add to the maze there. We could go in off Matapana track and go over the top into Boatshed Bay. There's actually reserve foreshore there in front, just back to the south of Hotchin's property there.
So which is your favourite part of the coastline? to walk on?
The walk I like the best is the one that leaves Metietia and heads north. I think you've got to do it that way. You go around the historic Metietia Reserve, which, strangely enough, this links back to the marina project. Normally when you put a marina in or have a proposal, you are gifting reserve land. In this case, it's actually going in on reserve land. Only a little bit, but it still is. So, more peculiar.
Right, okay. Oh, so you'd follow the coast round that way.
Yes, yeah. I like that walk. It's really inspiring, isn't it? The par site where we got rid of the helipad on the reserve out at Pendergast there. It was another battle.
Mm. Okay, great. So I'm quite curious, that little dig at democracy there that you managed to slip in. So if you didn't have democracy, what would you have?
Oh, I'm not saying don't have democracy. I'm saying we don't have it.
Right, okay. And have you got any suggestions on how to make it better? Maybe get rid of MMP?
Oh, no. To make it better, you've got to have local representation. You've got to be able to go and see your local representative and have a barney if need be. At the moment, there's all these screens. You can't get near anyone. And so the way for Waiheke to make it better is to go back to how we were pre-1989 when Auckland City amalgamated us and 150 of us walked into the council chambers, all the hair and all the beads and all the moccasins and the yogurt, and they were trembling in their boots and said they'd do this, that and the other, and they didn't do a damn thing. So my suggestion is at some stage we have a big push to get Waiheke free again.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thanks, Ross.
You're welcome.
Lovely.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.